Hello, and welcome to the next lecture for Sociology 125, Social Problems. Today we will be talking about Article 1, which is by Audre Lorde. It's called Age, Race, Class, and Sex, Women Redefining Difference. I'm going to read various portions of it, explain to you what I think is the thesis of the article, then the theory, and then finally the point of view. Okay? So we'll start with the thesis. This is the second paragraph on page 11. As a 49-year-old black lesbian feminist socialist mother of two, including one boy, and a member of an interracial couple, I usually find myself a part of some group defined as other, deviant, inferior, or just plain wrong. Traditionally, in American society, it is the members of the oppressed, objectified groups who are expected to search out and bridge the gap between the actualities of our lives and the consciousness of our oppressors. For in order to survive, those of us for whom oppression is as American as apple pie, quite famous expression, people often use it, don't know that it comes from Audre Lorde, have always had to be watchers, to become familiar with the language and manners of the oppressor, even sometimes adopting them for some illusion of protection. Whenever the need for some pretense of communication arises, those who profit from our oppression call upon us to share our knowledge with them. In other words, it is the responsibility of the oppressed to teach the oppressors their mistakes. Obviously, she's being sarcastic. I am responsible for educating teachers who dismiss my children's culture in school. Black and third world people, today we would say black and brown people, are expected to educate white people as to our humanity. Women are expected to educate men. Lesbians and gay men are expected to educate the heterosexual world. The oppressors maintain their position and evade responsibility for their own actions. There is a constant drain of energy, which might be better used in redefining ourselves and devising realistic scenarios for altering the present and constructing the future. That is the, that introductory part of the article, I think, sort of explains, in effect, what the thesis is, and then she kind of elaborates on it further. Let's skip to the second full paragraph on page 12. Racism, the belief in the inherent superiority of one race over all others, and thereby the right to dominate. Sexism, the belief in the inherent superiority of one sex over the other, and thereby the right to dominance. Ageism, heterosexism, which is what most people would call homophobia, elitism, classism. Skip a paragraph. Somewhere on the edge of consciousness, there is what I call a mythical norm, which each one of us knows within our hearts, that is not me. In America, this norm is usually defined as white, thin, male, young, heterosexual, Christian, and financially secure. It is with this mythical norm that the trappings of power reside within this society. Those of us who stand outside that power often identify one way in which we are different, and we assume that to be the primary cause of all oppression, forgetting other distortions around difference, some of which we ourselves may be practicing. By and large, within the women's movement today, white women focus upon their oppression as women and ignore differences of race, sexual preference, class, and age. There is a pretense to a homogeneity, meaning a sameness of experience, covered by the word sisterhood, that does not, in fact, exist. So, in effect, that's the thesis of the article. It's that there is that kind of often unspoken oppression of black and brown people in American culture, which assumes that wealthy, white, heterosexual males are the norm or the standard by which to judge others, and that people who do not fall into that mythical norm have less power, less prestige, and less of a promise for achieving some degree of opportunity in society. That is, in effect, I think, the thesis of the article. It is establishing the dominance that white, heterosexual, relatively affluent males have in our society, and the way in which people of color do not share that same opportunity. Now, let's get into the theory of the article. Again, if we were meeting face to face, I would have you breaking into groups to discuss what each of these things are. I don't ordinarily lecture on these articles, but because of circumstances, I am being forced to do that now. The theory of the article, I think, is intersectionality. If you remember, when we talked about intersectionality last time, I mentioned that the basic idea is that of a street map. And on a street map, you have different intersections. You have a racial intersection, a class intersection, a gender intersection, a disability intersection, and so on. And each of those intersections is distinct. So on one intersection, a person might occupy a certain level of power, but on another intersection, a person might have relatively no power at all. That is, in effect, what she is saying. Note her comment about the illusion of sisterhood, which assumes that all women have the same experiences. From the perspective of intersectionality, that is simply not true, because in addition to looking at the intersection of gender, which women occupy, there is also the intersection of race and class. And although black women and white women share the same gender, they do not share the same race, and they may or may not share the same social class. So all of those factors need to be considered. In other words, oppression is a very complex issue. It isn't simply a matter of looking at the oppressors versus the oppressed. there are multiple layers or intersections of oppression which exist in American society. That is one reason why intersectionality has become such a popular theory in sociology. I first started using this book 27 years ago. At that time, intersectionality was hardly known at all among sociologists in general. I would talk about intersectionality with my colleagues, and I would often have to explain what I was talking about. That is no longer the case. Patricia Hill Collins, the co-editor of this volume, served as the first African-American female president of the American Sociological Association. And in her talk at the annual meeting of that association, she gave a brilliant presentation on intersectionality. So now intersectionality is widely known, and it is also widely used. So I think that that is the basic theory that is used in this article, and is also used in many of the other articles as well, since both of the editors of this volume are intersectional theorists. Let's go on to the point of view. This is on page 17, the first full paragraph, starting in the first full paragraph of that page. We have built into all of us old blueprints of expectation and response, old structures of oppression, and these must be altered at the same time as we alter the living conditions which are a result of those structures. For the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. Another famous expression that many people use without knowing where it comes from. It comes from this particular article written by Audre Lorde. What she means by that, I think, she's saying that the tools that white heterosexual males used to create an oppressive society, such as the one that we all live in, a society dominated by white heterosexual males, those tools which were used to create that system of oppression cannot then be taken and used to take it apart. Instead, we need to find new tools, as I think she is suggesting, tools which can be used to dismantle, to tear apart the structures of oppression which exist in American society. This article is a very radical article in many respects. It's radical because it is proposing some very dramatic changes to American society and American social structure. It is an attempt to question many of the basic assumptions that people make about what it is to be a human being, and more specifically, what it means to be an American. And what she is arguing is that the experiences of African Americans as human beings have not been the same as the experience of whites and of white males, and especially of white heterosexual males. Generally speaking, though not always, the point of view will be found in one of the last few paragraphs of the article. So when you're looking for the point of view, which is in effect a kind of conclusion, look toward the ends of the article. And that's generally where you can find the point of view. Because I had to work on getting your tests ready to hand out this week, this will be the only lecture I will be giving this week. The next lecture on Article 2 will be on Monday or Tuesday of next week. Have a good one.